Let's go now, though, to the UN climate talks in Warsaw. Yes, remember those? The UN Secretary General says the world faces, quote, a steep climb to reach a 2015 climate deal to cut emissions. The scale of that task revealed today on what's called the Climate Action Tracker. It looks at current climate policies and pledges to cut emissions, and it concludes that the world is heading for a warming of 3.7 degrees by the end of the century. That is well over the so-called safe warming of 2 degrees, the target set in the Copenhagen Accord back in 2009. Dr. Bill Hare is Director and Senior Scientist and Climate Analytics. He joins us from the Climate Talks in Warsaw now. Bill, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Bill, this Climate Action Tracker, can you tell us the headline finding?
Well, the headline finding basically is that the actions being taken by countries is actually not even going to meet the pledges that they've made, that the emissions are heading significantly above that, and hence the warming is headed towards 3.7 degrees or more, actually, far more than we estimated just for the pledges, which would warm the world by about 3.1 degrees, which itself is far above the target, as you pointed out, of 2 degrees.
And can you, for everyone listening, can you explain, it's all very well to talk in degrees, but what the scientists have modelled on 2 degrees in Copenhagen, the world agreed that that's about as dangerous an increase as we could risk. Above that 3.7, what would that mean?
Well, we've just done a few reports for the World Bank, and that warming of around 4 degrees would provoke really major problems for development in Africa and South Asia and Southeast Asia, where levels of hunger would be increasing significantly, poverty would be increased due to the impacts of extreme events, heat waves, extreme tropical storms and so on, causing major problems in for many people. Natural ecosystems would be severely affected, actually, and closer to home, our own Great Barrier Reef would be probably on the borderlines of non-existence by a warming of 4 degrees. So already at 2 degrees, there's good reasons to suspect the Great Barrier Reef would be in severe difficulty.
And now this is the scenario we're talking about under existing policies and the current global deal. Do you think we should be optimistic that we won't hit that 3.7 degrees of warming by the end of the century, that something will be done? I mean, we're talking now and we're getting ready for an agreement in 2015.
It's a very good question. If you sit around here in Warsaw too long, you could imagine that it's impossible. We know that from the science of emission reductions that this can be done, that it can be beneficial. I think the very interesting thing that actually is happening here in Warsaw is that I think for the first time in several years we're seeing a serious move towards negotiating a new agreement that would be concluded by 2015 in Paris. And I think just a few hours ago I left the negotiating forum for this, and I could sense a strong will of most countries to try and conclude an agreement by 2015. It will, as the Secretary General said, be an extremely steep climb to get there. But I think we are beginning to see, despite the pessimism out there, a renewed sense that we really have to deal with this problem.
Do you think, though, are there signs that it's going to be a comprehensive deal or a patchwork of pledges really kind of pulled together rather than a strong binding treaty?
Well, that's actually one of the most important issues. Whether we race to the bottom in terms of the quality and quantity of what's put forward in terms of pledges, or whether we can develop a stronger legal agreement is one of the critical issues. I mean, the evidence of the last few weeks with the severe degradation of Japan's pledge.
Sorry, Bill, just to interrupt you, a lot of people perhaps don't understand what Japan has done. Can you just briefly tell us that?
Yeah, Japan's walked away from a promise to reduce its emissions by 25% in 2020 to a pledge to that would effectively increase its emissions by 3 or 4%. And that's what I mean by degradation of the pledge. And in Australia, of course, we're seeing the government trying to repeal the legislation that is actually beginning to reduce Australia's emissions. And there are a few other negative examples out there as well that give rise to pessimism. But on the other hand, we see some countries like China moving forward with its first regional trading system, which will trade greenhouse gas emissions, put a price on carbon, and complement other laws, particularly on renewable energy, that I'm hopeful will begin to peak China's emissions through the 2020s and early 2030s, which is what we need to have happen.
It's 11 past 8 on Breakfast. You're listening to, we're speaking with Bill Hare, the Director and Senior Scientist at Climate Analytics, who's at the UN Climate Change, Global Climate Change Conference in Warsaw, in Poland. You mentioned Australia there, the fact that the new government is winding the architecture put in place, clean energy architecture from the previous Labor government. Is that being discussed much around the formal table? Is that being factored into where things are headed in terms of some kind of global deal?
Well, I think one of the reactions here is disbelief that Australia would be doing that. I think that's the first reaction I've felt from many governments. And on the other end of the spectrum is anger, particularly from countries in the Pacific, that Australia would be doing this. So in that sense, it's not really registered yet that Australia could be fundamentally changing its position from being a relatively positive operator to a very negative one. We're seeing in a number of the negotiating issues, for example, in international finance, on coping with the damages of climate change, that Australia's signalling a very new and very hard line against movement on these issues that's beginning to raise concern with many of its negotiating partners, including with countries to the north such as Indonesia.
Japan made its announcement of downgrading its emissions targets outside the UN process. Australia hasn't even sent a minister to this meeting. So lots happening outside the UN process. What does that mean, do you think, for the future of these negotiations and the standing of this process?
Well, I think the process is at a turning point. If it really doesn't turn out a strong agreement in the next 2 years, I think that governments would be almost ready to walk away from it, and certainly the public would be entitled not to believe that in the end the international community can move this forward. But I've been in this game for a long time, and it's been sometimes quite depressing, even for very optimistic people. But I'm seeing a renewed effort now coming into the plans to negotiate an agreement. We are seeing more and more countries saying we have to stick to the deadline in 2015. We have to be ambitious. Of course, you have countries that are traditionally unhappy about forward movement in this area, like Venezuela and Saudi Arabia, and a few others tonight opposing movement, but the vast majority are out there wanting to actually get something real done.
What about
I'm a bit worried.
Sorry, go on.
I'm a bit worried that Australia is moving into a very negative actor role. I don't think we've seen the complete picture here in Warsaw of where Australia's headed, but the signals are not positive.
Australia, of course, very reliant economically on coal. Coal is responsible for 43% of annual emissions. The UN climate chief, Cristiana Figueres, told the coal lobbyists at the conference in Warsaw yesterday, that most of the world's coal reserves will need to be left in the ground if we're to avoid dangerous climate change. How did that go down?
Well, obviously with the coal people, it didn't go down very well at all, but it's simply stating the truth. I think actually the co-organisation of this climate conference with the coal conference by the Polish government is backfiring on it politically. There's a lot of anger about that here. But the big story about coal is that the problem that we're seeing, and we do report this in the Climate Action Tracker that's coming up soon, is that if we see the negative things that I've talked about, the problems with Japan walking away from its target, the dropping of the Australian climate legislation becoming a trend, then we could see the world moving back into coal. If that happens, we could be warming the planet by 5 degrees or more by 2100, not 3 or 3.7, as we're saying for current policies. And that's a very, very big risk. And I'm worried that Australia is moving into a position of climate denialism. It's opposing policies. It's essentially supporting the growth of coal at a time when the world needs to be reducing it.
Bill Hare, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Dr. Bill Hare is Director and Senior Scientist at Climate Analytics, talking about the Global Climate Action Tracker that will be released in Warsaw later today, Australian time, and just repeating those words from the UN Secretary-General, who said at the conference that that the environment ministers face, quote, a steep climb ahead to agree to cut rising greenhouse emissions. And he also made reference to the concurrence of the Philippine typhoon, saying all around the world, people now face and fear the wrath of a warming planet. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8:16.